BFN TV and the daily BFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm Pat, and here with me today is Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
I am doing very good. This is very good.
Yeah. Doing good?
I love this time of year. It's Christmas time. The decorations are out. People are actually laying out their blueprints and their strategies of how they're going to somehow.
Their what?
Somehow, we have to figure out how we're going to scale to the top of our houses.
What?
And hang on the side of a ladder. Well, it was funny. I was actually talking to somebody in the workplace yesterday, and he had this elaborate plan, if you will, finding out. He's like, okay, I got this product, and it looked so good on the box. I'm sitting there in the aisle thinking about the process of this, and it looks so easy. He says, I even watched the YouTube video, and I'm like, was it a paid actor? He's like, he was putting up his Christmas lights. Uh-huh. There's this, I guess, I haven't seen the product. I'm actually not exactly quite sure which product it is, but apparently there's this finagled metal. I don't even know how to describe it, but it goes on the end of a pole.
I'm on pins and needles, dude. What is he doing?
So he's, because he's just like, you know, I guess he doesn't like heights and he doesn't want to climb a ladder. He just doesn't want to go the whole ladder route. Well, he's got a 2-story house, so it's not exactly being able to just, you know, put it up there with
levitate.
Your hand.
What's he gonna
do? Yes. So he came across this product that you put it on a pole. It has a clip, and on the end of the clip, you can put your lights in it. And then you just kind of, I guess, erect the pole and then just snap.
Okay, so it's a way of hanging lights on your house without falling off a ladder.
But how he brought it about was wonderful, because I'm just like, are we building a house here? What is this? And he was just like, he was telling me, he's like, he felt better because he watched the YouTube video. He's looking at the product. And I'm like, was it a paid advertisement? Was it on the back of the, you know, did it say read our app for this? And he said, I looked like an idiot trying to put it up. This was horrible. And this was not what I expected when I bought the product. And I was like, just stick with the bushes, man. Just stick with the bushes. Too much fun. But this is a wonderful time of year. I don't think so. I think he kind of skipped the whole lights, or maybe he's going to, I don't know. I'll have to follow up with him and see what he does. But that's why I kind of went with, we have a tree in our front yard and all the leaves have gone. And,
you have a tree?
Well, I do have a tree, not a Christmas tree inside. Well, I do, but one of the big things is that I didn't put lights on the house. Mm-hmm. What I've always loved is you see those, the trees that are wrapped very tightly. Mm-hmm. And then all they have is just the plain lights. And it just looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. And now that I've got that, I got halfway done. I got a whole bunch of strands of lights, and I realized it didn't work for the whole tree.
So you didn't test them before you put them on?
Well, no, they work. I just didn't get enough light. So it looks like...
Half the tree?
I have half the tree, and
Yeah, we have this tree that actually has lights in it already. And every year, more and more of them die.
Wait, what? You have a tree that already has
lights?
When
you put the tree together, it actually has lights already strung through
it. I thought this was the tree outside. I was like, how did you come across?
We were talking about Christmas trees, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
just checking. All right. So anyway, we have this tree in the house that every year we, for some reason, keep putting it up with lights that don't work. And every year, my wife has to buy more and more strings of lights to make up for the ones that
I think that's a marketing strategy. They put one in that doesn't work, like they'll be back.
Yeah, those are junk. Anyway. So she'll buy up, you know, a string of lights, and she'll put it on and then realize she doesn't have enough. I was like, baby, they're like $2. Get you some more lights.
Right.
So she goes to the store the next night and gets another string of light, puts it on. And still there's not enough.
She gets one strand.
I'm like, come on, we can do this. This tree is going to live in Jesus' name. And finally, I think she finally got enough lights. I mean, it probably took us a week to get this tree up. And get all the ornaments and, you know, all the other stuff. I was like, my goodness. Wow. It'll be Christmas before this thing's up.
Yes,
come on.
Yes. You know, there's something about when you're putting up ornaments. I remember when I moved, I got older. I started getting into that November, December time frame, and I got this huge box from my mom. Mm-hmm.
And from her?
Yeah. From my mom. And I was just like, wow, what did, And I open it up and it was all the ornaments that we had this tradition as a family. You would buy an ornament. We would go out as a family and you would pick out your ornament. So every year, as you got older, everyone then, when it was time for Christmas, you would put up your ornaments. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing how you would see the progression. Okay, yeah, this was the paper crochet one where half the sprinkles are now gone and it's, you know, half torn and ripped, and it was from 1980.
So you bought them? You didn't make them?
Well, the beginning ones, that's what I'm saying. In first grade, you make them, and then you go to the Hallmark store and you buy them. Right. But it's just like, don't miss that. Mm. There's something about when families come together, and especially in times like this, there's those traditions that... When what I love to hear is when you ask people like, hey, are you traveling for Christmas, or, you know, are people coming to your house, or, you know, do you have traditions of your own? You know, mm-hmm. what stands out to you? Because sometimes it's just like when we come together as a family, you know, we're remembering, we're having this time that, you know, the greatest gift of what Jesus Christ did and his mm-hmm. birth. And it's so beautiful that we have that time of remembrance, not only of what Jesus Christ has done for us, but even in our own lives. We remember that journey, and it's just like, I remember being younger, and my dad was telling me about some of the ornaments that he has as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I guess like it was a little piece of metal, and you would always have to position them on top of a light, because based off of the heat from the light, it would turn a wheel. Really? And yeah. And I think my grandparents had like two. The last time I heard, because all the other ones had broken, and we were playing with them, and mm-hmm. we're like, no, these are not a toy. They're not a toy. They stay in the tree. But it's just like to see the progression of ornaments and just those remembrance moments. Mm-hmm. Don't miss that.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like looking at a lot of the ornaments my kids have made over the years.
Yeah.
And I think my oldest son, he's like 25 now, and we've got one that's actually like this plaster handprint that he made. I mean, it's a little bitty hand. It's probably not, 4 or 5 inches, you know, this small, tiny. I'm like, wow. He used to be little. Now he's huge. He's bigger than I am. So, yeah. Yeah, I love reflecting on those.
Yeah. And that's a huge thing, too, is that, you know, if you've got, like, I don't know me personally, it's like sometimes we can want to go buy something. Mm. But... take the time and spend time with those that are important to you and make something. Get out some paper crochet or I know I just messed that up.
Paper crochet.
Paper mache. And, some popsicle sticks, some glue, some sprinkles, some color, some markers.
Some frost.
Or some frost if you just want to go in. We won't even go there. And the cool thing is that the awesome thing, you know, what's funny, even just thinking about this, I remember spending some time with the Holderbaums. Shout out to Brett and Sharon. And
what's up?
They actually invited me out. I'll never forget this. To spend time with them and their family. They had a tradition. I think it was Christmas Eve. But they would make a batch of cookies. Mm-hmm. And they'd each make their cookies. And what was so encouraging is I think they would vote on which cookies were the best. And actually one of them was the Blob. It was actually shaped like a sock, but it was just funny because the cool thing was, is like, it's not about obviously, you know, the cookies, but it is the memories of people coming together. And, you know, mm-hmm. this might be a Christmas where, you know, it's a little different. You know, someone might not be there that's important to you, whether it's a mom or a dad or a family or a brother or sister or a best friend. You know, take those times to remember. Take those times to remember those joyful moments, because the greatest thing is that the gift of Jesus Christ, he's here. Mm-hmm. And it's a free gift that was given to everybody.
Absolutely.
And it's a gift that all of us can open if we don't necessarily have him in our life, that we can say, you know what? I just want to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think about it, it's just like, how good is that? That we have that opportunity to take this time and celebrate that. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely make sure you teach your children, you know, what the season's about. And one of the things that we do every year as a family before on Christmas morning, mm-hmm. you know, before we touch one gift, mm-hmm. before we look at any stockings, any of that kind of stuff, we sit down together as a family and we read the story of Christmas, the actual, you know, what this is about. You know, why are we celebrating this day? And we'll read right out of the book of Luke.
Oh, wow.
The story of, you know, when Jesus was born,
mm-hmm.
you know, and why we're so grateful to him. You know, what this is all about, what these gifts represent to us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about, you know, what the world has turned it into, but it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, the focus is always about him,
mm-hmm.
you know, not what's under this tree, but about our Lord, our Savior.
I was actually talking to somebody, and the amazing thing is just like a lot of times that we pay attention to what children say. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, too, they're going to catch you off guard. And I was speaking to a friend of mine who has a son, and I want to say he's probably like, I don't know, 5 or 6. And all of a sudden, he just totally caught her off guard, and he said, Mom, do you get gifts for your birthday? And she says, yes. And he says, well, I get gifts for my birthday. And he says, everybody gets gifts for their birthday. And he says, well, if this is Jesus' birthday, how come Jesus doesn't get any gifts? And she was expressing to me that she was just undone. And she says, well, you know, sweetie, that's a very good question. And it's just like, that's a very good question. And that's so much of a valid point, what you're saying, Pat. It's just like we have made it about the gifts, while at the same time we've totally neglected the gift.
Mm.
We've totally neglected that all of this season, the gifts are wonderful. You know, the cooking, the turkey, the lights, the decorations is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't allow that to detract from the greatest gift. That God, in his awesome, indescribable holiness, came down in the form of a little child,
mm-hmm.
in the most humble of humble ways, to be born in a manger, to connect with mankind. And it's like, mm-hmm. that is such a powerful truth.
That is.
And we get to take the time and just say, Jesus, I am so grateful. So be encouraged, and in this Christmas season, take time with your family and remember the greatest gift. Be right back.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy. $50 eye guy.
Welcome to the Army Navy store with 2 locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and in Fort Walton Beach.
We have ammunition, weapons,
tactical gear, survival gear, uniform, patches, and much, much more. Call, go online, or visit us today.
Have you noticed that some people just are reluctant to talk about their feelings? With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller, and Dennis Swanberg has a rather humorous story about his dad.
And you know, my dad's the type, I'll say, Dad, I love you. And when I'd say that, he would go, well, we never had to bail you out of jail. Well, Daddy, I love you. You've meant so much to me all my life. I love you, what you've done for me, how you've provided for me. And Dad, I don't know how to say it, but just, I love you. And he went, have you changed your all lately?
No one ever gets tired of hearing the words, I love you, even if they can't seem to say them back. So take the time today to call, text, or email those words to someone special, especially your mom or dad. You'll hear Dennis Swanberg's entire message today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Away in a manger, no crib for a man, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. We just want to wish everyone across the Gulf Coast and all the nations, we wish you a Merry, Merry Christmas and a blessing to all of those that are important to you. You know, as we're taking this time to, you know, remember the gift of Jesus, and we're remembering the whole reason of what this is all about, I've just been taking some time and I went back to the beginning, and I was spending some time in Genesis, and I just want to encourage you that if you're opening up your Word and you got the Bible, just pause. So often it's just like we want to read something or something that's important to us, but I just want to encourage you to pause. And it's amazing. It's just like when we slow down the most, and it's all of a sudden you're going to see stuff that God's going to show you something you'd never seen before. Mm. And when I was reading in that moment of creation, you know, the moment that God spoke words and universes exploded into existence.
Isn't that wild?
And God was just reminding me how awesome He is. I mean, it was just like, sometimes I open my mouth and people pass me some bubble gum or a breath mint. I'm like, hey, thanks a lot.
What were they trying to say?
I thought I remembered brushing my teeth that morning, but maybe I didn't. I don't know. Might have been right after I had some coffee. But God opens up His mouth and literally creation comes into existence. That's like, we don't skip over that. It's like, God is speaking, and He says, let there be light, and that which didn't exist obeyed God into existence. Something that did not even exist instantly obeyed God, and it's like, here I am. Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know I had life, but now I do. I am now here. And if you've never read Genesis before, God goes through and each day creates something. He creates something. And in Genesis 1:3, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Mm. God saw the light and He said that it was good. But something that I have never seen just rocked my world. They got to get this. Now, that was in Genesis 1:3, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing is, though, you look at Genesis 1:14, it says, and let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two lights. Mm-hmm. He made the greater light and the lesser light to govern the night. He was basically creating the sun, the moon, and the stars. And I just sat there for a moment, and it's like God spoke out light. Then He actually created the sun, that which gave light.
Mm-hmm.
And the powerful thing is, though, is that he's speaking this out. He's not doing anything with His hands. He's just saying a word, and it's coming into existence. And it's like, you got, Like, that just blows your mind. Like, I can't even try to. He's just awesome. Just worship him. He's so awesome. And when you continue that down, God creates man. And he names him Adam. But when you back up a little bit, this is the first thing that God actually forms. He uses his hands. I mean, it's just like, okay, God went through the whole process of creating, you know, the earth, creation, the universe, animals, land, water, mountains. But now that there's dirt, and now dirt has come into existence, then, I mean, it's just like, I was trying to picture this, and I just didn't, it was just causing me to worship God and just sit in his awesome presence. Imagine God in all the vast of heavenlies. He kneels down to the tininess in comparison to his vastness, and he kneels down to the soil of the earth, and he uses his gentle hands that he's so big, but he cares about the intricate qualities of who you are, and he forms out the shape of a human body. Then he takes it a step further and he goes, whew. And when you read the word of God, this is in Genesis. This is in Genesis 2. Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And he became a living being." This was the first time that God, it says, breathed the breath of life. And I was simply undone. Because God breathed everything else into existence. And it doesn't say this, I don't know, I'm just dialoguing, but it's just like, I wonder if that itself was the Holy Spirit, because he breathed his life into Adam. I mean, I don't know, I'm not trying to add, I'm just dialoguing and just the awesomeness of who God is. But you think about it, God created us in his image, in his likeness, in his qualities, to be just like him, to create things. And when we're thinking about the awesomeness of God, I didn't even know how to like write anything when I was spending time with God. I just wanted to put it down. I was just like, whoa, he's really awesome. He's like really awesome. And I was just sitting there for a while, and then, you know, I had to get ready, and I'm getting ready to do, you know, my schedule for the day, and I'm driving my car. And as I'm driving through a neighborhood, I see all these houses to my left and to my right. And this is what the Holy Spirit says to me. He says, every house was first spoken before it was built. And that just blew me away, because I began to think about, you know, when I was in, the first time I went to college right out of high school, I majored in architecture. And architecture, if you're not familiar with that, it's basically the skill of building. How do I build things, structures. Design, structures, all that types of, very intricate. I didn't do well. I lasted a semester. Painstakingly difficult.
Not your gift.
Oh, goodness. As a matter of fact, there was actually, the moment I realized I couldn't be an architect was my second semester. The first class we had was a model building class. This was the assignment. Design a house that does not look like a box. Couldn't do it. I was so undone what these guys and girls came into my class with. I was like, I am out of my league. You guys are awesome.
What'd you,
I don't know.
Some popsicle sticks. Dude, glue some stuff together.
Something like that. But I put together this house, and it looked like a box. It basically looked like the letter L. Because I was like, that was all I could come up with. Because I was, let me put this.
You just lock it up.
Oh, dude, I was locked up. There's two types of architects. You have like a artistic architect, and you have a mathematical architect. The mathematical, they see the lines, they see, you know, the right angles, they see it. They're very straightforward. The artistic ones, man, this one guy, I still remember this. It looked like a treehouse with an elevator and bridges. And I was like, did you hire somebody?
He built it or he drew it?
Well, you had to build a model. Okay. Because architects, what they do is you have a full working schematic. If you can imagine a blueprint, You have to be able to first see what you design. Architects write out their vision painstakingly to the intricate details. So if you ever walk up to a construction site, there's that one table that's all matted out, and there's this massive roll of like 100 papers. Mm-hmm. That's the blueprints.
Yeah.
From the east angle, the west angle, the north angle, from the roofing, the foundation, the electrical, the plumbing, everything. But even in that, okay, it's got to go on a certain plot of land. It's got to go on this address, if you will, between these two houses. And these are the dimensions. Mm-hmm. Well, they have to build a model. So when you take that in consideration, we're building buildings. If you look at the house that you're in, if you're looking at the office space that you're in right now, that first was in an architect's visualization, and he had to write it out.
It was in his mind. Yeah.
Right. And then he spoke it out to the foreman. Then he spoke it out to the construction worker. Then he spoke it out to the plumber. Then he spoke it out to the person that was laying the cornerstone. Every house was first spoken before it was built. Mm-hmm. And you got to get that, because this is God-like qualities. God created us to create things just like he created things. Mm-hmm. Which really blows your mind. You're like, whoa. I don't know if I'm exactly breathing out the breath of life here. But the reality is, mm-hmm. you are creating things. And that's the thing. It's just like sometimes we can think, The question is not, am I creating? The question is this: what are you creating? Mm-hmm. And in John 6:63, it says, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. This is Jesus talking. And I want to get into this. The importance that what we are speaking does have life. Mm-hmm. And what we are speaking does take form. We'll be right back.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible." If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them.
700 pastors from the confessing church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the confessing church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God. Every single weekend, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, going all the way to Monday morning at 9 a.m. when the live program starts, every single weekend, we have Marathon Weekend. What is that? That's every program that was live throughout that week plays back to back.
At back Marathon. To back?
Back to back. Marathon Weekend. You got to get it.
Christ the Lord, the newborn.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. We just want to wish you a blessed, merry, merry Christmas. Don't feel shy to just break out into a wonderful Christmas Yuletide caroling. If you're in the workplace, go ahead, let it out. This is, go for it. He's so worthy of our praise.
Yes.
We're continuing, you know, this conversation about the breath of life. And we left off talking about our words matter. What we're talking about, and one of the last things that we shared was in John 6, this is actually Jesus speaking. He's saying, the Spirit gives life. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they're full of the Spirit and life. And so often that we don't, I know, times in my own life, we can say something and then all of a sudden realize the implications of like, okay, that wasn't just a word to that person. Mm. That meant something to them, because we might not take in consideration the experiences that in their own lives, I might say something. You know, for instance, I grew up in Detroit. And then I moved to now the Florida Gulf Coast region. And let me ask you this. What is a toboggan to you?
Toboggan.
A toboggan. Exactly.
Don't know.
Up north, it's called it's basically a sled.
I was going to say that.
But down south, it's, you know, this is, last time I was talking with somebody, they told me that it's perceived as a hat. It's like you might be talking about this one thing, but mm-hmm. not realize, you know, but basically what I'm talking about is like our words have meaning and our words have effect. And the question is not what I said before. The question is not, are we building? The question is, what are we building? And the significant thing is that what matters most to God is people and how they are growing up. You think about a newborn baby, they grow up, they learn, they get stronger. And what really stands out to me is, like, you know, I gave the analogy of what we talked about as an architect, that they have to build a whole working set of drawings and cast the vision and make it clear and make it plain so that we can walk with it, or run with it, I'm sorry. And then all of a sudden a building comes to form. An office building comes to form. A shopping center is now seen. Mm-hmm. But the question is, how are we building up people? What are we speaking over our coworkers? What are we speaking over our spouses? What are we speaking over our children? What are we speaking over a generation? Mm-hmm. And in 1 Peter 2, it says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And we might not think that what we're saying is so powerful, but I can guarantee, and I know personally, or whoever, you remember some things that were spoken over you as a kid, and you struggle with it because you're like, I just, you know, that's not true. It's not true. And that's it's a mindset. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this on VFN TV before, and we'll make some related articles for you to give that more of a deeper awareness. But what we're saying has meaning. And a lot of times too, you know, there's a segment that will relate. It's just like, what sentence are you serving? Mm-hmm. You can say one thing, and it might not always be the full truth. And oftentimes we can create entire thinking processes based on these words. Some are biblical, some are not. But the point that we're trying to get, when you look at Proverbs 18, it says the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And James continues to talk about the fact of what we're saying has so much more of a deeper impact than we might initially think about. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you that it's just like when you're having a conversation, when you're in a situation or you don't like what you see in the natural, you know, Hebrews 11 says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Speak out what you're believing, what God has made known to you. God has a plan for your life, even if your current natural situations don't line up with what God's word says about you. Begin to agree what God says about you. And if you've got those struggling moments in your relationship, in the workplace, you know, even in your own life, speak life over it. Mm-hmm. And catch those moments when you're tempted to speak criticism, when you're tempted to speak complaining, when you're tempted to speak doubt and say, you know what? I just bind that word and I just speak life in this situation. I speak life over my thoughts. And the amazing thing is, though, is that you're building up a situation in a godly perspective. You're building up people. When we're speaking out over our leadership, pray for them. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to lift up our leadership. We're supposed to pray for our leadership. Mm-hmm. When we're speaking out over our communities, our neighborhoods, our very streets, we can speak out, Lord, I just speak out a hedge of protection over my neighborhood. Lord, I ask that your angels would be upon and just, I speak out safety, protection. Lord, I speak out jobs. I speak out employment. Mm-hmm. Over your fellowship. Lord, I just pray for a hunger of Jesus Christ. Lord, make Jesus known to the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that you would hinder everything that hinders love. That we would give you glory over your home. Lord, I just bless this marriage. I speak out unity, that we would walk together. Be mindful of your words over your children. You have the mind of Christ. This math test would subject to God's will in your life. I bless you. I speak grace over you, good godly friends, and over yourself. I'm a child of God. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. God loves me. God's got a plan for my life. I'm blessed and highly favored. And at first, like when you say those words, it might not, you're like, man, that just sounds kind of weird. Mm-hmm. That is that confirmation that this is that, okay, I need to speak this out. I need to speak this out. And that's the great thing about abiding. We talk about it because this is that Genesis 2 moment. This is why Jesus came, to redeem, to bridge that gap, to reconcile what was lost in the garden. The Bible says that God walked in the cool of the day. He spent time with Adam. And that's what abiding is, that we can spend time with the one that breathed life into us. And that's what it comes down to. Because we ask ourselves, okay, how do I speak life over this situation? God, what is your perspective in this situation? Mm-hmm. We know what to speak by spending time with the one who first spoke life into us. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Oh.
No, what I was going to say was, it reminds me of a story that I heard once, you know, how powerful our words are. I mean, words are spirit. You know, they either breathe life or they breathe death. You know, James talks about that. And they can, you know, they turn our whole course of our life and how we use them. But the story I heard, I believe it was Joyce Meyer. She was talking about this woman that sent in this testimony. And she was in her house or something, and she had this plant, you know. And she, I don't know, she didn't like the plant or whatever. She kept saying, man, that thing's so ugly. It's so ugly. And, you know, she keeps saying this thing. But then she got to notice that the leaves on this plant began to wither.
Wow.
And every day they just get darker and darker. And then the leaves just what shriveled up, and the leaves just all fell off of this plant.
Mm.
She's like, wow, what in the world's going on with this? And the Lord spoke to her. You know, she got the revelation that her words killed that plant. And was giving her the revelation of our words matter. They do matter what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got that, she was like, oh my gosh. And so she repented. And then she thought, you know, and God impressed upon her, because she had a real strained relationship with her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And they hardly ever spoke. And then she got the revelation of, man, I'm going to speak good words over my relationship with my mother-in-law. You know, and then she began to pray over her and bless her and speak good things about her and all that. And you know what happened? By the end of that day, she got that revelation and started praying those positive words over her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law called her.
Really?
Out of the blue. She said that she hadn't talked to her in, I don't know, weeks or months or whatever it was.
Wow.
And just struck up conversation to see how she was doing. That's how powerful our words can be. They can bring life or bring death. It killed the plant when she spoke all these negative words.
Mm.
But they brought life when she blessed her mother-in-law. Think about that.
Who are we killing with our words?
Right. We're bringing life, bringing death. So that's why important is when we're praying, you know, we speak life. We speak things that are not as though they are. You know, if you got strained relationships, if you got health problems, you got whatever it is, don't look at the circumstance and keep speaking that out and agreeing with it. You speak the opposite of what you want to see. You start creating with your mouth, start creating in the spirit realm, like, and give it to God. Say, God, no matter what I see here, I'm going to speak life over it.
Yeah.
You know, be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
It'll be done according to your faith.
According to your faith. Absolutely.
That's so powerful. You know, be that godly architect of your situation and speak out what God would have it to be. We'll be right back.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50
I Guy. $50
I Guy.
Welcome to the Army Navy Store with two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and in Fort Walton Beach.
We have ammunition, weapons,
tactical gear, survival gear, uniform, patches, and much, much more. Call, go online, or visit us today.
You can't be used now because you can't even talk. I mean, right?
Hey.
Bah, bah.
Proof positive.
I mean, look at this. I mean, here are these Southerners on here. Yeah. I've never heard. I mean, John's obviously from the South.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
No doubt.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. It says, like, Ush de la Blois Espanol. How does it sound country-wise?
All I did was a double the chicken.
Yeah.
He's like, that sounded accurate.
No, I didn't see it. Even though I did have some chicken this week, some chicken twice, seven days.
Hey, chicken.
Yes. As Donna stood in line for me. We are getting to what we're going to cover today. We're going to be talking about Jerusalem and the unemployment rate that's and some different things happening. But
this line, yes.
She stood in this line. This little small. All you got to do is get down. This is all you have to do. Get you a chicken fryer, put you a building around it.
Oh my God.
And they will come. And the only thing, they've got this place called down south. It's called Church's Chicken.
Oh, they have them everywhere.
Church's Chicken. And in that, it's basically a small building around a grease fryer. And there's nowhere to hardly stand in there. There's just a little room for the jalapeno pepper, a little room for the corn, which they now have healthy butter on it. So it's just like, it's just an artifact. And she stood there for the longest time.
Really?
Longest time to get me. She probably didn't want to cook. No, no, she did. And and believe it or not, I ordered some chicken livers, some fried chicken livers.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I didn't eat. It was just like, they were not good. My mind started thinking, no, it wasn't. It was chicken ash.
Oh.
It was burnt too much. They just somebody's been a new law about chicken livers. Now you got to cook them until they're actually don't hurt you.
Oh.
So anyway, once she was there, you know, this is actually in the region that just got hit by this huge prophetic storm that happened, biblical proportions, as they're saying. She's talking to a lady, and the place is packed. Mm. So if they'll tell you a successful business, people think it's pizza. Down south, it is a big grease fryer. Mm. It's something that you can dip your chicken in flour and just throw it in there. And they'll line up all day long for biscuits and chicken. They being us. And
well, you and John anyway.
You got to double dip it. You used to. We got pitchers.
Not anymore.
We got pitchers.
I know. Mr.
the chicken man.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. We just want to bless you, the VFN TV audience, throughout all the nations and the Gulf Coast. And we wish you a Merry, Merry Christmas.
And all over the world.
Oh, yes, to the nations. We're continuing this conversation about the breath of life. This is so encouraging. I am so encouraged. I just gotta go. I gotta listen to this. Man, you should check out that TV program.
Good stuff.
Beautiful. But we're talking about this, and it's just like, oh my goodness! You mean to tell me that my words have the power of life and death?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness! Now I don't have to keep buying plants for my kitchen.
Stop blessing them.
I got it now.
But bless those protein bars in Jesus' name.
I speak out protein bars in Jesus' name. They will come to pass.
That's right.
You know, we're talking actually, you know, Pat, you brought up an awesome point over the break. Mm-hmm. There was actually a minister, and he actually wrote a book, and it was called The Fourth Dimension.
Yeah.
And it was by Dr. Youngie Cho.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you, if this is stirring you and really encouraging you, you need to get that book. It's Dr. Youngie Cho. It's actually called The Fourth Dimension. Mm-hmm. And in this, he talks about this very journey and his own revelations of what he learned. And you actually were talking about his story, how he walked through that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he you know, he lived in a real in a village, really, real impoverished situation and part of his life. And you know, he was a minister, and he would walk from village to village, you know, and witness to people. He's like, man, this is just wearing me out, Lord. I need a bike or something. You know, I need something.
He did not have cars.
And no, not where he was at.
And
and then I guess he also needed a desk, you know, where he could actually study and you know,
and a chair
and abide. And he wanted a nice chair and it got to just give him this, you know, burden to really just believe God for these items.
Mm-hmm.
They just started praying, Lord, give me the bike, you know, and, you know, so I can go from place to place, and I want this desk and a chair, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and he was just really just so focused on these three things, and he's just believing God for it. And then 1 month went by, 2 months went by. you know, 6 months.
You mean I gotta wait for this?
Like, God, I mean, you spoke to me. I really believe that this is from you, that, you know, that you're gonna do this for me. What is up? Why has this not happened yet?
I hit the microwave button and I haven't heard a ding yet. Come exactly. on, come on.
And the Holy Spirit said, well, I would, but you're not being specific enough.
Wow.
Specific.
I said a bike.
And then he just, the bell, you know, the lights went on. He's like, right. Oh, okay. I get it. So then he got specific. He didn't just ask for a bicycle. He wanted an American bicycle. Because back then, you know, our stuff was made
right.
really like well.
Steel
you know,
or something. Hard.
He wanted yeah, it wasn't this flimsy stuff. Right, it was right. like real hard, you know.
Right. Durable.
Beefy bike that would last forever. And, you know, all the things that he wanted in this bicycle, he wrote down. And then he just asked for a desk.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted a mahogany desk.
Mm-hmm.
Solid Ooh. Wood. Yeah. You know, just beautiful. You know, he broke it all down. And then not just any chair. He wanted a fancy, one of them executive type chairs with the fancy wheels.
So
on
yeah, because like I just wheel around.
Yeah, like wheel around. Yeah, feel important, whatever. And once he started praying specifically over these items, I mean, within
what
days.
What was the journey too that there were people in his fellowship that he's like, I have.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
He's like, I have a bicycle. A desk.
No, he said he was pregnant.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. What? And then what was funny was like as he was talking, they're like, well, where is it? We want to see it. He's I'm pregnant with it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
in me.
That's right.
He's going to keep speaking it
that
out.
That was all part of the whole journey. Yeah. He was speaking to his people. And, in the book, it talks about exactly how these things came to pass. I mean, it was to the T what he asked for. So when it showed up, he knew exactly.
That's from God.
That's from God. That's exactly what I asked
for. That's my vision.
That's what I wrote down.
Wow.
And that's what I believe God for.
Wow.
Isn't that powerful?
Well, that highlights so much of the truth because... You know, it escapes me now. I'm just trying to talk about that. But that's exactly what the Bible says, is write down the vision. And we'll have the
make exact, it plain.
Yeah, we'll have the scripture related. But make it plain, just like what you're saying. Write down specifics so that a herald can run with it and understand it. Because if you don't understand it, how can someone else understand exactly. it? And if they don't understand it, well, hey, that's great feedback. Because you're like, all right, well, let's tweak this a little bit.
Right.
Because God longs to bless you. God longs to give you... You know, the desires, and it's just like that bicycle situation, but it's just like, if he did, you would have no awareness to be like, actually, that was from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, write down the specifics. I think about an own situation in my life, and it was just like, I needed a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a place in my life where I had, the place I was staying at was not the most peaceful environment. And... I knew I was just like, God, I just want a place of peace where I can just, I just want your presence just to dwell so beautifully and and powerfully. So I knew I needed a house. Mm-hmm. So I wrote down literally, I wrote down the cross streets where I was looking. I wrote out, I wanted a one floor. I'm very rarely home. So I didn't want a big yard. I didn't want to have to do a lot of yard work. You know, two bedrooms or however many, and wrote out specifically. I had a list.
Wow.
Like I ordered that.
Wow.
And I was actually in a conversation with Greg. And right at the end of that conversation, I don't remember what we're talking about, but the Holy Spirit just said, because there was a specific neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, man, I love this neighborhood. I always saw families, and it was just so much of a community, and people were out and talking. I was just like, I just felt drawn to. And I would just go there and just drive. And I was like, I never saw a house for sale. Never saw a house for rent.
Mm-hmm.
And right after a specific conversation, the Holy Spirit just said, go to that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it was like 11:30 at night.
Really?
And I was like, okay. And it was on the other end of town. So I'm driving.
Uh-huh.
And the whole time I knew it. I'm just like, I just speak it out. That house is there. One of those houses is for rent. That is my house. Lord, I can see it. And I'm driving, but I'm speaking it out. I'm speaking it out. And I walk, and all of a sudden I drive into the neighborhood, and there was a for rent sign.
As soon as you pull in.
As soon as I pull in, I saw that for rent sign. Now, granted, it's like 11:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
I parked my car. There was nobody in the driveway. And I just had the confirmation. I could just feel it in every fiber of me. I walked into that driveway. I raised my hands, and I received that. I took it. in the driveway. I'm like, I declare it. Right. I felt it. Like I saw the shrubs. Mm-hmm. I asked for a one story level yard in the very, you know, in a certain location, knowing the fact of like, I'm always driving and wanted, you know, things nearby. And I walked up to it and it was just like, I knew it because I'd been speaking. And that's the thing is like, don't just write it down, speak it out and then believe it.
Yeah.
Believe that God hears you and that it'll be done according to your faith. Yeah. And I said, this is that house. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you hear my prayers. I thank you that you hear my faith. And this is that house. And that house was for rent. I had been looking for a house for probably about six, actually more than that, because the house I was in before was like a temporary house. I was in the house in less than 7 days.
Wow. From the time you walked up to it?
From the time I saw it. And the powerful thing is that when I had spoken to the landlord, when I was signing the contract, they had put that sign up like 2 days before. God, the creator of the heavens and earth, who spoke the breath of life into you, is waiting for you to get specific with him. Spend time with the one who loves you and speak out the breath of life. And speak out the breath of life over your situation, over others, and over yourself. iabide.org. God longs to give you that bike in your situation. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see, and something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.